Joshua called 12 men to come wade in the water with me. They wrestled out 12 big old stones, a memorial to be. Well, one by one they stacked them stones before God's people's eyes, just to be a landmark on the shore after all of them died. After all of them died. Stacked them stones one on another, stacked them stones for all to see. Stacked them stones one on another, stacked them stones for you and me. For the children
of God. Oh yeah, stacking them stones of truth, one up on top of the other. This is Brother Brandon Teague, and we are live on Blog Talk Radio with the Old Paths broadcast coming to you from downtown Paris, Texas. And my friends, it is my privilege to be talking to you today all over the world and talking to you about the wonderful Word of God. Let me just introduce myself to you listeners, and I want to tell you that I am thankful to be saved by the grace of God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So thankful to be his child. I'm a pastor of Faith Baptist Church right here in Paris, Texas, and I'm thankful to be able to come to you by this medium of radio. And today, let me just give a plug, first of all, first and foremost, to the music that we just heard. The Marksman Quartet out of Georgia, good friends of ours, and that song, Stack Them Stones, on their album, This Is My Crowd, and it is available for purchase on their website, and you can find that at marksmanquartet.com. Be sure and log on and check out their music, and we're thankful for their friendship and fellowship. But today, folks, we're going to talk about some important issues that are facing Christians, facing pastors, facing churches all over this great country of ours. And my friends, we're dealing with some very scary times. If you watch the news, if you hopefully you don't pay a lot of attention to the news outlets, but if you check the internet, if you've had your ear to the ground, you know that America is sinking fast. America's in bad shape, and we're in sad shape in our churches today, folks. As we look around this nation, there are very few true churches anymore, and I make that statement to kind of preface what I'm going to say today. There are very few true churches anymore because now, in this day that we live in, most churches have become creatures of the state. They are corporations, and they have yoked themselves up with the IRS. They've yoked themselves up with state government. There's an issue out there today, and I'm trying to expose it. I'm trying to open people's eyes, as are some good friends of mine who I'm partnered with in this ministry, and we're working the best that we can to blow the lid off of this subject. And this is the issue of incorporation, and churches today have become, they've become creatures of the state. They have become, according to the IRS tax code, 501c3. And this 501c3 issue, it goes back to the days of Lyndon B. Johnson. Lyndon B. Johnson, he offered this 501c3 tax break to churches. And what basically, it was kind of like cheese on a rat trap. And sadly, churches have taken this cheese, this of government protection, of government. I'm going to let somebody a little more qualified than myself explain this issue a lot better. And on today's show, I've got two very, very good experts at this. And the first person I want to introduce to you today, a very good friend of mine, and his name is Pastor Jason Cooley. He is the pastor of the Old Paths Baptist Church in Northfield, Minnesota. He grew up attending the Good Bible Preaching Baptist Church, but in March 12th of 2002, he fell under conviction from the Holy Spirit and saw his need for Jesus Christ. And shortly after, in 2003, he felt the call of God on his life to full-time Christian service and believed God wanted him to preach the gospel to others, and that's what he's been doing since. He's building a church with the Lord's help. It's the Lord's church, but he's working and pastoring and preaching all over this country as the Lord affords him the opportunities. And he is a champion for truth. He's a champion for God's word. And he's my good friend. And what I want to do for you, I want to just let you hear him in action. So, Mr. Producer, why don't you let him hear him?
Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, he says, "And I also say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church," he said. He didn't say it was your church. He didn't say it was the preacher's church. He didn't say it was the government's church. What did he say? He said, "Upon this rock I will build my church," he said. So it belongs to him, doesn't it?
Welcome to the program.
Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16.
Pastor Cooley, welcome to the program, brother.
Good to be here, brother. Thank you for having me. Up here in Minnesota, it was 3 degrees this morning, so I bet that temperature is quite a bit different than in Texas.
Absolutely. Well, we got down to 31 last night, and thank God I hadn't planted anything yet. So, but it's looking up from here on out.
Amen.
Well, brother, we started off this program talking about this matter of church incorporation, and I know that you're bearing the torch for this, brother.
Well, this issue, and there are some others out there that are championing this cause as well, but it's few and far between as we see this. And you know, I didn't even want to get into this type of ministry in this area. It's just that God dealt with my heart about getting organized right and not being a 501c3 legal entity, a creature of the state. So God dealt with my heart about that, and as soon as he dealt with me about it, I said, you know, I'm not going to champion this cause, and no sooner did I get those words out of my mouth than the Lord said, yes, you will champion this cause, you will bring this truth about, because I've called you to do that as well as pastor. I've called you to bring this to light and to be used in this generation to wake things up.
Amen. And, brother, I tell you, as I look around in this area where I'm at, and I know it's the same way where you're at, and we look around for like-minded pastors. We they're scarce as hen's teeth because you cannot find in your midst a New Testament church. You cannot find in your midst one that is not 501c3. And I want you to tell very briefly what happened when you felt the Lord's call on your life to go ahead and start Old Paths Baptist Church. What happened with your pastor?
Well, we were sent out of a local New Testament church, as we believe that New Testament churches birth New Testament churches and that you do things right and orderly. And it came to the time that we were planted, and then we weren't quite separated yet as far as our own church entity there our own body of Christ there. And what ended up happening was the pastor came to me and he said, "Now listen, you need to organize as a 501c3. And I looked at that paperwork and I said, "Okay, well, what does that mean?" And as I started to look at that paperwork, the first thing I noticed was that the IRS had these rules and these rules that were stated. And I said, "Well, I couldn't agree to not preach on that. And I couldn't say that I would not preach on that. And if I did say it, I'd be lying if I signed that because I know I'm going to preach on that. So what's worse? Is it worse for me to sign it and say that I would follow it or sign it and not follow it and be a liar? Either way, I'm in trouble if I follow this route."
Exactly. And brother, most people, I really firmly believe in your average Baptist church. And of course, you know, you and I, we're Baptist preachers, and so I'm not speaking tonight to the Lutheran pastor or the Methodist pastor. Of course, if there's some listening in, may God help them. But tonight we're talking about Baptist churches. We're talking about those who hold the same biblical beliefs that we do. And, you know, most, your average church member in your average Baptist church probably has very, very minimal to no working knowledge of this issue.
Yes, that's correct. And actually, to be honest with you, let's take it a step further and say the average pastor that has been pastoring for 30 years doesn't have the knowledge of this issue. They don't understand it because they've never studied it out. Now, there's good men of God out there that love the Lord, that I believe are saved and called to preach, and they pastor churches, and they love Jesus Christ, and they love their church members, but they are completely ignorant of this issue, and it's sad because they've fallen for a trap, and now it's time that we awaken people and show them the truth now, as everything in this country, as tyranny is coming more and more in this country, we need to be able to be free in Christ and have liberty in Christ in the church and do things the right way.
Absolutely. And I know that you are working in concert with Brother Gerald Finney, and those of our viewers, of our listeners out there, I should say, who have no idea who Brother Gerald Finney is. Brother Gerald Finney is author of, I would say, he wrote the book on this issue. I remember a scenario back during the OJ trial where they called a forensic expert and the defense began to tear apart his credibility, asking him what university he attended to get all this knowledge on forensic science, and he said, "I didn't attend the university." And they said, "Well, what experience do you have that would allow you to speak on this subject?" He said, "I wrote the book." And he wrote the book on forensic science, so it qualified him. And Brother Gerald Finney, who wrote the book when it comes to church and state 501c3 issues, God Betrayed, he's on the line with us, and I want to bring him on the conversation, if you don't mind. I know you'd be glad to have him on here with us.
Amen.
And let's see if we can find him there. Brother Finney, are you with us?
I'm here. I'm there with you if you hear me.
I hear you, brother. Can you hear us?
Yes, I hear you all very well.
All right.
Well, you hear the discussion we're talking about, the fact that the average Baptist church member has no idea what 501c3 means. They have no idea what they're into. And Brother Cooley said the average pastor of 30 years probably has very little knowledge of what it really means to be 501c3.
Amen. I think that's true.
And, brother, we don't have a lot of time. I want to get right into the meat of this issue. And for those out there that are listening who don't understand just how serious of a matter it is, Brother Finney, if you would, I want you to describe for them just how wrong it is for a church to be a corporation.
Okay, we're talking about two things here, corporation and 501c3. Now, usually most 501c3 churches are incorporated, and incorporation violates the same biblical principles that 501c3 violates. It's not just a way to hold property. It also brings the church under the rules of the state, because when you get into a non-profit corporation as a church or any other kind of non-profit corporation, you are a creature of the state. The corporation is created by the state. The law explains all this. The sovereign of the corporation is the state. There are a lot of rules you have to go by. You agree to go by when you incorporate. We're finding that many churches do not go by those rules. They don't send in their yearly reports and other things and so forth. They're supposed to have officers. There's just a ton of rules that come along with it. What incorporation does is makes a church a legal entity. And 501c3 adds to that legal entity status. Incorporation is done through the state government. 501c3, of course, is the federal government. So you're putting yourself under both the state and federal government as a church when you incorporate and get the 501c3. Now, this people who have studied this matter understand this. I'm talking about even legal scholars. I am a lawyer, and so I went to the law books and studied this out. I cite in my writings an article by Richard Garnett, who's an assistant professor of law at Notre Dame at the time he wrote the article. He may be a full professor now, I don't know, but it's an excellent article, and he makes very clear that 501c3, which he says, he equates it to being privatization of a church. He says this. Can I quote him?
Sure.
He says this. Privatization of the church is its remaking by government and its transformation from a comprehensive and demanding account of the world to a therapeutic cocoon wrapped around the individual. It is a state-sponsored change in religious believers' own notions of what their faith means and what it requires. The government tells faith communities that religion is a private matter, and eventually they come to believe it. And finally, the retreat of religious associations to the private sphere suggests an ill-founded confidence that the government will not follow, but it will. The privatization of religion is a one-way ratchet that stems the flow of religious current into the public sphere, but does not slow the incursion of political norms into the private realm. I saw this out street preaching lots of times when we were out street preaching. I would have people from other churches here in Austin, for example, the First Baptist Church of Austin, come up to me and say, "You're not supposed to be out here doing this. This is for the inside the church walls."
Right.
And that's exactly the opposite of the truth. The church walls are to edify the members of the church, and the church, as you and Pastor Cooley do, then is to go out into the world and spread the gospel through street preaching, various other things. So you see, it's worked. It's worked, and I could go on and on about that, different ways that is that it has affected churches, but it's just mind-boggling when you understand what's going on.
Right. Pastor Phil, you were wanting to butt in there? Well, it's just the most simplest form that you can understand it, or simplest words to be used, is basically it transforms it from just a regular local New Testament simple-ran church, a simple Bible model for a church that can be reproduced anywhere in the country, anywhere where the Lord our God would have us to plant a church, meet in a small room somewhere, meet in a home somewhere, simplified, simple New Testament church into a creature of the state that has to have reports and answer to the IRS, you know, and turn in their, keep their records in case the IRS ever wants to look at them. And, you know, it turns into something that is outside of the Bill of Rights, the First Amendment that we hold so dear in America, Bible believers hold so dear in America, and if they become a 501c3 church or an incorporated church, basically a church that is mingled and mixed with the state, that does not have one head but has two heads, has the state as a head and has the Lord Jesus Christ as a head. And there's no such thing as that in God's eyes. I mean, I understand that. I'm not saying that our brethren that are Baptists that are incorporated they don't have real churches. Of course they're churches. The problem is they are not honoring God, and they're not being operated according to New Testament principle.
Right. I mean, it seems to me that they are looking at what the offer is from the state government. And what are they offering them? They're offering them shelter. They're offering them protection. They're offering them prosperity. I mean, what are the promises that the state gives to a church to lure it into the trap? If you would really kind of get...
It actually... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
It actually, what it is they offer them everything our Lord Jesus Christ promises us in his word that he will do for his church. and they offer them, they dangle a carrot in front of the face of the pastor and the church. Well, listen, we'll make sure that your offerings can be, or your donations can be tax deductible, and we'll make sure of all of these things can be done, and they dangle all of these things. And we're supposed to go to the Lord Jesus Christ for everything and trust Him for everything, and not the state.
Right, right. And it also, you know, our listeners don't know this, but I had both of you guys down here about a month ago, and we talked about this on a television show. And one of the things that was brought out was the fact of it yokes when you are a 501c3, when a church becomes a 501c3, they yoke themselves up with others that are 501c3s. And to go to the Bible just for a minute, in 2 Corinthians 6:14-17, which says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." And God, and it's very clear to me that God cannot be the Father to us that He wants to be if we are prostituting His church out to another daddy.
Oh, that's right. That's the decision that every pastor has to come to, and it's really the crux of the situation. It's not, well, is the IRS going to make me do something? Well, I'll get out of 501c3 when they start enforcing the rules, or I'll do this. No, it's about, does it honor the Lord Jesus Christ? Does it
right.
put Him in first and foremost place in our lives, in our church? Is He really the head of the church then? And do we give Him all glory in the church throughout all ages, a world without end, like the Bible says? Are we doing that, or are we honoring the state? Are we putting the state, just like in that sermon that you heard a clip from, whose house is it anyway? That's really the question.
Right. Right. And you know, just to add to what I was just sharing, you know, who else is out there that are 501c3? Well, we have to recognize that the Church of Satan out in San Francisco, California, is a 501c3.
Yeah.
That Wiccans, witchcraft groups, covens are 501c3. There are all manner of homosexual groups that are 501c3s. There are pedophile groups that are 501c3s. There are pornographers, abortionists, pagans, atheists that are all 501c3. And we're yoking ourselves together with them and accepting their formula we're accepting their formula of how things are supposed to be. And I know we live in this society, we live in this sheep-minded society, and I know, Brother Cooley, you know it as well as I do. If anybody follows you on Facebook during the day, they see that you got your eyes wide open, and you got your teeth, you got your gums back and your teeth bared, and I praise God for you doing it. But, you know, praise God, somebody's got to growl. And
well, they do, brother. They got to get out there and get this. We've got to be bringing these things to the light. And I'm so happy that we're on this show tonight and talking about this issue, because this issue is very vital to the Lord's churches in America today.
Amen. And, Brother Fitty, I think you were the one that brought that to my attention, that story and I've got it in front of me, but if you know it by memory, then I would let you tell it. But this that question that changed my life, do you know it from memory?
Well, I can get it for you right real quick here. It's people can go to my website, and all this stuff we're talking about there. Also, they want to read a lot more details about what we're talking about. But yeah, I saw this article several years ago. Is that the one you're talking about? The fellow
by David Reiser
teaching a Bible class, and
some young folks, 18, 19 years old, and he said, he said to his class, Christianity started in Palestine as a fellowship. It moved to Greece and became a philosophy. It moved to Italy and became an institution. It moved to Europe and became a culture. It came to America and became an enterprise. Some of the students were only 18 or 19 years old, he says, barely out of diapers. And he says, I wanted them to understand and appreciate the import of the last line, so I clarified it by adding, an enterprise, that's a business. After a few moments, he says, the youngest student in the class raised her hand. Now, this is a young lady. I could not imagine what her question might be. I thought the little vignette was self-explanatory and that I had performed it brilliantly. Nevertheless, I acknowledged Martha's raised hand. Yes, Martha. She asked such a simple question. A business, she said, but isn't it supposed to be a body? I could not envision where this line of questioning was going, and the only response I could think of was yes. She continued, but when a body becomes a business, isn't that a prostitute?
Absolutely.
Mm. Wow.
And the Lord's church has become a prostitute in America. Is it any wonder? Is it any wonder that we're in the shape we're in?
The religious power is riding the political beast.
That tells us right where we're at, doesn't it, fellas?
Yes, it does.
Yes.
And I just pray to God that we've got listeners out there tonight who are doing some contemplation, that are maybe some pastors who've logged in and are listening and are taking these things to heart. And I will say to those listening out there that it's hard to hear the first time. It's very hard to hear. As a matter of fact, sometimes people get very angry when they think that, you know, fellas, you know as well as I do, pride is a very dangerous thing. And
yes.
We do not want to be confronted with the fact that we have been lied to. We do not want to be confronted with the fact that we may see ourselves as having been dumb enough to buy the lies. But let me just say to you folks, hey, once the sting of it is gone, once the sting of pride of realizing that you've been fooled, it passes, and God will give you grace to get past that, then you can begin to set things right, and then freedom comes and relief comes, and what a blessing it is when you're finally free from all of that, all those lies that we've been told over the years. And so I tell you what let's do. Let's go ahead and take a break, and we're gonna let the Marksman Quartet sing a song, and just let people have a little moment of reflection, and we'll gather our thoughts, and we'll come back after the break. So we'll be right back here in just a few moments on Blog Talk Radio on the Old Paths broadcast. We'll be back at you here in just a few.
Between a holy God and man, just one high priest, a mediator. Once a year on a special day, blood for sin he had to pay. 'Cause man wasn't getting any better. But one day God looked down just outside of town, on Calvary's rugged hill, his son was dying. And as the earth began to quake, the Temple Mount began to shake. A priest ran from the temple, and he was crying, "The veil is gone. access to the throne. The veil is gone. Now we're down upon our knees, sending up our pleas. Jesus Christ is now our mediator, and we can come here every day, and all we have to do is pray. The priest that we have now is even greater, but one day not far away, we'll no longer have to pray. In heaven, face to face, in all his splendor, we look upon the one who died, his hands, his feet, his riven side, and throughout the endless ages we'll remember that the veil is gone. Took away our sin, the veil is gone, the veil is gone. We have access to the throne, the veil is gone. We have access to the throne, the veil is gone.
And we're back here on Blog Talk Radio on the Old Paths broadcast, Stacking the Stones of Truth. Hey, that was the marksman with the veil. And I'm thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that my Savior paid the price with his shed blood. I'm thankful that the veil has been torn, and I can go straight to the throne of God because of what my high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, has done for me, and thankful for his salvation. And glad to be here with my good friends, Brother Jason Cooley, pastor of Old Paths Baptist Church in Northfield, Minnesota. Also with our good friend, lawyer friend, Brother Gerald Finney from Austin, Texas. And he's keeping Austin weird down there. He's the only one that's sane. The rest of those guys down there are weird. But he's weird to them because he's a Christian and he stands for truth. And I'll be weird for Jesus any day, Brother Finney. But
amen.
But anyway, before we went to break, we're talking about this 501c3 issue, and we really have to look back. And we started off the program talking about the fact that we're not on here trying to woo over Lutherans and Presbyterians and Methodists. And you know, if God can help them through what we're saying, then praise God for it. But we're talking to Baptist people. We're talking to those who hold the same truths that we do, and. You know, we only have to look back, and most people, sad to say, are ignorant of their Baptist history. Most Baptist people, they don't know their Baptist history in America. All they know is a little bit of you know, maybe what they've read in Graves is the Trail of Blood. Maybe a little bit that they might have gotten if they went to Bible college, but for the most part, we don't get taught a lot of Baptist history. And a lot of it's been lost. But here in recent years, there's been a resurgence of study in the Baptist history. Brother James Beller wrote a book called American Crimson Red, which is a phenomenal book. And I think all three of us have the book. But and I know that the two of you have gone on Baptist history tours, and I believe both of you know Brother Beller. And we hope to have him on the program soon. And but what a tremendous help it has been in my understanding of these issues, having learned what my Baptist forefathers went through. And I know we don't have time to go through the entire scope of it, but just to give a brief synopsis, Baptists came to this country having been burned at the stake, having been sawn asunder and stretched on the rack, and having been martyred. Just in the millions down through history since the Lord's Church. They went by many different names, but they held the same beliefs, and they've been murdered just one after another, and finally escaping to this free country only to find the same tyranny here in America through the Congregationalist Church, the state church, the Standing Order Church, and they fought, and they fought against it. They were oftentimes their homes destroyed, their homes ransacked. They were pelted with rocks and pelted with rotten tomatoes and horsewhipped and jailed and beaten at the stake and put locked up in the stocks and made a mockery of, disenfranchised, which means they simply couldn't buy or sell, turned out of the wilderness to die. And, I mean, people just don't realize what Baptists had to go through on these shores to have religious liberty. They don't realize that the First Amendment to the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, came because of Baptists, because of our fight and because of our struggle. Most people don't know that Thomas Jefferson and James Madison and Patrick Henry championed the cause of Baptists and our struggle for religious freedom. And listen, liberty of conscience, our free ability to worship God without government intrusion. And it came by blood. And that's what people don't realize. It came through the blood of our forefathers. And now 501c3, church incorporation, it is just giving back what was bought with blood. Brother Finney, I want you to take us from there and talk about it.
It definitely is. The 501c3 invites churches to seek a tax exemption from civil government. It's an invitation. It's based on a law, a federal government law. The First Amendment says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or preventing the free exercise thereof. So
right. It's
obviously an unconstitutional law. But the federal government flaunts this. Our churches, instead of having challenged it early on, just flock to get their 501c3s, even though
right. It's
an unconstitutional law. In publication 1828, and you can go online and put Google IRS publication 1828 and read this for yourself. But it says in that publication, Congress enacted special tax laws applicable to churches, religious organizations, and ministries, and ministers in recognition of their unique status in American society and of their rights guaranteed by the First Amendment of the Constitution of the United States. See, Christians have been so ignorant. The First Amendment says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And the IRS is just flaunting right there before us, well, we're going to go ahead and make some laws for you. And that's what they've done, and it's just by invitation. Churches, because of the First Amendment, do not have to become incorporated. They do not get 501c3. But they use various rationale, and I cover all of those rationale in my writings. It's all on my website. All of their rationale is ridiculous. Limited liability, that's ridiculous rationale. And I know people will say to you, oh, you've got to be kidding. That's not even to consider the biblical principles that are involved, that their churches are trying to get around and so forth. There are so many aspects of this that the only way you can understand it all is to really study it for a while. And again, I've written on it. Pastor Jason has written on it. You've done programs on it on TV. You've made books available, Pastor Brandon, and so forth.
And we'll continue to.
Now, let me say this. All the books, if people think I'm trying to make money on this, I'm not trying to do that. I'm trying to glorify God. If they think that, they can go right online, and all my books are online for people to read right there in PDF form. And also, I have covered it all in entries that have been updated that are, you know, not in PDF form. It's kind
right.
of a
and that's,
rewriting
and that,
of
let me get that address out real quick. And that address is Gerald Finney, J-E-R-A-L-D, Finney, F-I-N-N-E-Y, .wordpress.com.
Amen.
Now, they can find it at that address, am I right?
That's correct, Pastor.
Amen. Amen. And listen, and you know, there's this herd mentality. You know, I've learned so much since I started studying. You know, people today are like lemmings. They, you know, and of course, lemmings being the little animals that run off a cliff because the other one runs off the cliff. We're sheep. And there's this idea that if we don't become incorporated, if we don't get the 501c3 status, we're somehow doing something shady. We're doing something kind of trying to sneak around and trying to do something that we shouldn't do. And I shared with you whenever you were here last that I went down to the bank and was doing something with our bank account, and the lady with the safe deposit box made a statement to me. She said all churches are going to have to eventually become 501c3. And by the way, let me just throw this up here, that just in case somebody's wanting to call in and join us on the program, let me throw up this guest call-in number. If you've got a pen ready, it's 646-915-9266. And we'd love to, if there's a pastor out there who's interested, who'd like to call in, find out some more information. You know, you've got two guys on here that can help you. We've got about 16 minutes left in the show, but again, 646-915-9266. We'll get you on the air. Brother Cooley, why don't you take it from here?
Well, as you look at this issue, and we study from a Baptist history perspective, and just Baptist history really dovetails into American history. I mean, you can't get away from it, and the fight that John Leland and the other Baptists had, and how they, and the Leland Madison Memorial, and what took place between Leland and Madison. Study that and Google that history, and you'll figure out real quick that there was a battle for the First Amendment. And now what's going on in our nation is a full-out assault on the Bill of Rights.
Absolutely.
You see that today with Rand Paul stood for 12 or 13 hours and basically
Amen.
Preached. He preached from the floor of the Senate for 12 hours of how the president does not have the right to just murder people in America. And I know that doesn't directly relate to what we're talking about, but it kind of does. It kind of does in a way, because what we're seeing now is churches have given up their God-honored place that He has put them in, and how God brought us to this nation and allowed us to be able to have a Bill of Rights, and that Congress shall make no law, you know, concerning the establishment of religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And they have made special tax laws, and churches have been invited and enticed to take those. And our Baptist forefathers wrote against it and said, don't do it, don't incorporate, don't get involved with the state. The state has no business in religious matters. The state has no business in churches and their property and their bank accounts and everything in that nature. And as we know, churches don't own property directly if you're going to be organized right, according to the, you know, to the First Amendment and according to our Bible, then we understand that. Now, that's another issue for another time. But
right.
In essence, basically, what we've come to today in this country is churches have to make a decision. If I'm speaking out there to an independent Baptist pastor out there that loves the Lord Jesus Christ, that pastors a flock, I want you to ask yourself one question. Does it honor God for me to for me to submit to the state in who I have on my pulpit, in who I give time to, on how politically active I am, on anything that I do like that that's not breaking any of God's second table of the law. Am I honoring God by following the state as opposed to being organized directly according to biblical principles and under the First Amendment of the Bill of Rights, under the First Amendment of the United States Constitution? What am I doing? Am I honoring God by going outside of those things and being organized as a creature of the state and turning in all this paperwork to the IRS and keeping track of all these records for them? And you say, what do you have to hide? Absolutely nothing. There's nothing to hide. The point is that the church is private. It's not public.
Absolutely.
That's the whole thing. If you want to know what's going on in the church, then you come, you get born again by the Spirit of God, you submit to believers' baptism, and you get entered into the assembly, and then you can know what's going on in the house of God. Amen? But that's
absolutely
the way God instituted it. That's the way it's supposed
We're living in this society where people think if you want to have any privacy, then you must be doing something wrong.
Right. That's what you're being told. That's what you're being led to. Read some of our founding fathers of America, their statements on what they believed. They said to question anybody that came close to approaching that precious jewel of liberty. Patrick Henry said that.
Amen.
Question their motives. Question what they do.
Amen. You know, I mean, I know it seems crude to talk like this, but you know, I was reading a blog the other day, and someone was commenting on it and saying, well, it was talking about the spying that the government's doing. It was regarding the destroying of the Fourth Amendment, and someone said, you know, well, I don't see why everybody's so worried about, you know, the government being involved in your life, you know, if you have nothing to hide. And someone asked the question, said, well, do you close the door when you go to the restroom? Do you? I mean, you know, if you've got nothing to hide, it's a very crude point, but it's a very direct point. And, you know, listen, we're not doing anything in this church house but what the Lord wants us to do. And it's not subject to government regulation. It's not subject to government scrutiny. And it's certainly not subject to government taxation.
That's right. That's another myth that's out there, Brother Brandon. That myth that government issues a tax exempt status and that churches are not tax exempt, or the churches, or in 508 code it says, in the IRS 508, section 508, it says that churches are automatically exempt. Well, that's wrong as well, because First Amendment churches are churches that are organized according to biblical principles and under the First Amendment, it's clear that they are not taxable. That's a difference.
Exactly. Tax immune.
Tax exempt. That's right. They're tax immune. They're immune from taxes.
May I add a little point there?
Sure.
Yes, sir.
And that's ridiculous anyway. If a church is doing what it's supposed to do with its tithes and offerings, it would not be taxable, even if the government said that it would be taxable, because it would make no profit. Even a business that makes no profit is not going to be taxable because it's not making a profit. So there are lots of little things about this that are just so flawed in their arguments. A church is non-taxable, period, if it's a New Testament church. I even have a law review article dealing with this on my website. The real issue they have is this, that most people have. What they really are concerned about is attracting members so that they can write off what they give to the church as a deduction on their taxes. That's their real concern. However, under the First Amendment, it would be unconstitutional for the government not to grant a tax deduction for anyone in any church, whether it be a government 501c3 incorporated church or a First Amendment church, you see. It would be discriminating against the non-state churches to not allow a deduction and allow it for the state churches. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, there's a lot to that. I don't have time to explain it all, but I just wanted to throw in that point.
Right. And, you know, again, all this the stuff we're talking about, it all comes down to authority. You know, the whole question of whether we're exempt or whether we're, immune, or however you want to put it, who makes us that way? It's the question you asked in that sermon. Whose house is it anyway? Is it the Lord's? And if it's the Lord's, then state, get your dirty, filthy hands off of it. If it's the Lord's, then IRS, get your stinking, filthy hands off of it. And for a pastor to knowingly put God's own body into the dirty, filthy hands of Caesar is so unconscionable to me. It just makes my skin crawl.
Amen, brother. That's right. And you know, I try to weigh my words wisely, because you know, when you're trying to reach people and they just, you know, you and I are so used to this issue, and we've studied it out, and Brother Finney has studied it for years, and you know, I guess I want to put a plea out there to people, to pastors. And listen, pastor out there, if you're listening to me, I'm not against you, brother. I'm not against you at all. I'm not trying to point a finger at you and make you feel bad. I'm not trying to discount what you've done for the Lord. I'm just asking you and beseeching you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that you search this matter out, that you go to GeraldFinney.press.com, go there, look at the articles, listen to the sermon, Whose House Is It Anyway? And I just ask you, will you investigate it? Will you look at the information that's there? Will you take a look at it and see if you come to the same conclusions that I did when you're faced with that issue and you're looking at it? What did I sign? What is in this paperwork? What can I do? Can I come out of this corporation? Can I come out of the 501c3? How can I come out of the 501c3? Listen, our goal is to help you with that. Our goal is to, Brother Finney and I are not here to be the accuser, point a finger at you, or make you feel bad. We want to help you. The Lord will convict you. He's the one that does the conviction. What I want you to do, and what Brother Finney wants you to do, and what Brother Brandon Teague wants you to do, is come get some information from us. Let
Absolutely.
Us teach you something about the subject, so you can break free from the chains of government in the church house and organize properly under what's called the Declaration of Trust, and organize a proper way that honors the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our goal.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, I absolutely don't want us to come off, pretending to be lords over God's churches, because we're not. But we simply want to wave the flag of truth and right as hard and as fast as we can, because just like the pastors out there that may be listening, we see the day approaching. And, you know, when we leave this earth, whether it's by death or whether it's by the rapture, we're going to stand before that judgment seat of Christ. We won't stand before the Congress or the Supreme Court or the Texas House of Representatives or the Minnesota House of Representatives. We'll stand before the Lord, and we want to honor him, because we want when we stand before him, for him to be able to say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Amen. Amen, brother. That's exactly what we want.
Amen. We got about 4 minutes left. Brother Finney, you got any closing thoughts for us?
Yeah, I would say one thing as to that lady at the bank. She may be partially right in that one day we may see our First Amendment freedom of religion destroyed. It hasn't been destroyed yet. So churches can, without persecution, choose to operate completely out from any type of legal entity status, like corporation, 501c3. But if that time comes, I pray that there will be a remnant, and I know there will be a remnant of Baptists, true Baptists, who will say, I cannot deny my Lord. I cannot violate his principle of separation of church and state. I cannot prostitute his church. Do with me as you will, Caesar, but I love the Lord, and He is my supreme law.
And just before we get off the air, I do want to tell our listeners, if they would like to find out more about these issues, number one, they can contact Pastor Jason Cooley. You can find him online at the Old Paths. Well, it's actual, the address is not the, it's oldpathsbaptistchurch.org. That's oldpathsbaptistchurch.org. And you can find out how you can contact him. His phone number's on there, address. Or you can find out more from Gerald Finney at churchandstatelaw.com, churchandstatelaw.com. Or you can find out more from him at geraldfinney.wordpress.com. And we want as many folks as can to find out the information and prayerfully consider, weigh these matters out in prayer, weigh them out on your knees, and ask God, are you pleased with the way our church is set up? Or should we do some things to make this thing right before you? And that's really what this is all about. And Brother Gerald, I'm glad you joined us today, my good friend. And it's been a pleasure to have you on the air with us. And I look forward to when we get together again in the near future.
Well, thanks for having me, Pastor Brandon. And I appreciate you and your church family and your family up there and all that you do. Thank you so much. And thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. Absolutely, brother. Brother Cooley, it's a pleasure to have you, and I've enjoyed being on air with you, my brother. And I'll let you get back to your folks, and you keep fighting a good fight of faith, brother.
And we'll Amen, brother. Soon. Look forward to it. Look
yes, sir. God bless. God bless, and have a good night, brother. Folks, we've enjoyed this hour of radio, and it's just been a powerful blessing. And we look forward to doing this each and every week until the Lord returns. And you just stay tuned every Thursday from now until we can't do it anymore. Right here on Blog Talk Radio, the Old Paths broadcast, stacking the stones of truth and giving God all the glory. And let me just say before we hit the outro music, I just want to say that if you're not sure that if the Lord were to return tomorrow, that you'd be ready to go. If you're not sure if your eyes were to close in death, listen to me. Get to know the Lord. Call on Him. Ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save your soul. I'm telling you today, we're all sinners. May the Holy Ghost convict you and draw you to repentance and show you that you're a sinner lost before God. Turn it all over to Him. And believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. We're going to stack those stones on the way out of here, Brother Lonnie. Send us on the way out.
Stack them stones for you and me.